We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end...
What will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
History in 5 songs. With host Martin Popoff. A production of Pantheon Podcasts. Let's rock out with Martin.
Hello, once again. Welcome back to another episode of History in 5 Songs with Martin Popoff, brought to you by the good people at Pantheon Podcast. We are pleased, as always, to be part of this vast and always expanding Pantheon Podcast Network. We're available on Spotify, iTunes, and over 40 other podcast platforms. All right, yes, boy, I got to mention, there was just a great meeting done by the bosses at Pantheon. I totally appreciate what Peter and Christian are doing. I couldn't go to the thing, but I saw it on recording, and it was amazing. Didn't understand a dang thing what they said, but I'm glad they're so incredibly technical and checking out all these different opportunities and stuff. But yeah, that was pretty cool. I had to go to this Getty launch thing for his our bass player's Human 2 thing. So yeah, I missed that. I kind of regret it, but yeah, it was really cool to see that it was all recorded. Very promising stuff. Some good stuff about the whole Metallica report situation. Boy, Ed, that is really cool that they're doing that. That thing's obviously doing well. But yeah, kudos to Peter and Christian for running this company so effectively and efficiently. All right, so this is episode 233. I'm calling this OTT Hair Metal Songs. I loved doing this episode because I learned some kind of cool stuff, some cool patterning along the way when I did this. So what does OTT Hair Metal Songs mean? OTT is an old term from the, you know, the Kerrang days, the new wave of British heavy metal days for over the top, right? So the idea here is I wanted to examine the idea of when these hair metal bands did these super crazy wall of sound, often with double bass, fast songs, why they did them. We'll go into some of the sort of characteristics of them. But what I found super interesting about this episode was that, you know, this is actually going to be a true kind of history in 5 songs because we're, you know, I kind of discovered that in a big way, Van Halen is responsible for all this. So we're gonna start with a Van Halen song when we get into it. But yeah, so the idea is basically, you know, most of these albums have, not most of these albums, actually a lot of bands don't do it and a lot of albums don't do it, but it is a hair metal trope. That there are these super fast heavy metal songs. And why do they do them? I mean, is it to establish metal credibility? Is it sort of a subconscious nod back to, you know, the thing that just happened before hair metal with the new wave British heavy metal? I mean, one would argue that this whole thing really starts off with, you know, the super fast songs from the origins of heavy metal, your Fireballs, you know, even Paranoid for that matter, but really picks up steam with Judas Priest. So Judas Priest is kind of important in this fast song idea. We've already done episodes about the history of double bass, the history of thrash. It's kind of a shared history with thrash. But definitely the new wave of British heavy metal and definitely Van Halen, because what we're going to find out here is that, you know, double bass is a funny thing. So a lot of these songs, we've got straight sort of punk rocking, fast D-beat kind of drumming. We've got traditional fast heavy metal drumming. We've got double bass drumming that drops out or drops down to halftime or drops into traditional heavy metal drumming. But we also have this quite difficult thing to do, but it seems like everybody wants to try it. It's the double bass drumming that falls into a bit of a shuffle beat. And that really comes from from Van Halen. So yeah, it's kind of interesting. You know, a lot of these songs start with guitar solos. They start with drum solos. It's an exercise for the drummer to go crazy. It's an exercise for the drummer to sing high. There's often gang vocals. There's often kind of bluesy tropes and licks that happen. That's the other thing. There's a lot of guitar licks, right? There's licks happening all over the place. We often get the stop-start thing. So yeah, we'll examine a little more as we go along here, but that's some of the characteristics of what we're talking about here. So these are over the top. These are kind of like the fastest, the heaviest, the wall of sound songs that you get on hair metal albums. And you know, other reasons, I suppose, is you want variety, you want quote unquote one of these on here. Like I say, it's metal cred. It might have to do with let's have a barnstorming track to kick off the album. That's a well-known trope. You know, we talked about that in the sequencing episode. It might be to have something that they imagine would go over good live, but quite, you know, generally speaking, these songs don't go over good live. We've talked about that before. With this podcast, the whole wall of sound thing, the thing, you know, Megadeth discovered that the wall of sound, super highly technical pyrotechnic songs didn't carry over good. This is that whole AC/DC syndrome where their songs sound great because they're simple, and you know, the vagaries of a live boomy hockey barn treat simple songs better. So yeah, that's kind of the whole thing here. Apologies, you know, there's some up and down, some used, some not used here. I posed this question. Hey, got any examples? To Mick Phelan. John Coscio, actually, he turned in some nice suggestions. But William Walker, I asked him as well. But I kind of went ahead with this before I got any answers. So I just, you know, when I get enthusiastic about these things, I kind of ask a few people who have been helpful with episodes, and then sometimes I just storm ahead and find them myself and do the episode while it's still fresh. And that's kind of what happened here. You know, I brought it up with Tim Durling, who really knows his hair metal. He mentioned a couple of things, but he said, hey, look, your list is super complete already. So I consider that a good thumbs up because he really knows his hair metal. By the way, he's got a new Y&T book that's just out. He did a Y&T panel book, the way I've been doing these panel books, and he got it out really fast. Hugh Syme did the cover art for it, so you can get that over at Amazon, so that's really cool. So yeah, without further ado, let's get into our first one here, and we shall discuss. This is Van Halen with Get Up. Okay, now why did I want to pick this one? So I picked this one because it is just so OTT, over the top. And by that, I mean it goes over the top into ridiculousness. It doesn't even sound heavy anymore. It sounds frantic. It sounds chaotic. It sounds unraveling, right? So this is a really great example of over the top. And I definitely wanted to pick Van Halen because... like I say, I think they're the big progenitors of this whole idea. So, you know, this starts with way back to the first album with I'm the One, Atomic Punk, and On Fire. So you get these super heavy, you know, pretty fast songs from Van Halen right out of the gates in 1978. But I'm the One is the key one here because, again, you get that fast shuffle idea. You know, you might look at Light Up the Sky from Van Halen 2 or Loss of Control as sort of this thing. Loss of Control, much more than Light Up the Sky. Light Up the Sky is pretty traditional. But Loss of Control, again, you got that crazy, challenging, weird kind of drumming from Alex Van Halen on there, which, you know, falls into the whole shuffle idea. Hang 'em High, one of the few originals on Diver Down. So we're only up to 1982 here. So again, we're pre-hair metal. This is a great history of this thing. Hang 'em High definitely feels like one of these. And again, it's never been considered one of the best written Van Halen songs. And that's another thing that happens with these songs. singers find them kind of challenging to get a lot of words in. They're often very casual, like Hang 'Em High has some casualness to it, but Van Halen's just known for their casualness anyways. And then we get to Hot for Teacher. Now, Hot for Teacher is a really key one for these tropes. Again, it's that sort of weird, you know, space between a straightened out and a shuffle double bass thing. But this also has the big stop-start thing where, you know, a bunch of insanity happens for the vocal sort of thing. And here it's so ad-libbed, right? Ad-libbing is a big part of these things too. But yeah, that stop-start thing, that making space for singing, whether it's singing the way Dave does over basically nothing here, or sometimes it's singing just over drums, you get that a lot. And then, yes, we get up to Get Up. So we get up to 5150, 1986. Sammy Hagar joins the band, and this is a ridiculous version of this whole idea. You know, when this album first came out, I listened to that song, and my first thought was, you're just trying to compete. You're just trying to be heavy. You're trying to show how heavy you are, and you got so heavy that it just sounds like helium. It sounds like thin air, right? It doesn't really sound like that heavy a song. Source of Infection on the next one, OU812, is like this as well. And then the other interesting thing that happens here is you get the doppelganger band, David Lee Roth, gone solo, and Shy Boy, which happens to be, you know, from the Talas days. So here's Billy Sheehan doing this in the old days. Shy Boy is totally one of these. Elephant Gun is one of these. The Bottom Line from the next album, Skyscraper, is one of these. Again, double bass, but in shuffle mode. Some bluesy licks. It's, again, not all that heavy. So here we get another one. And I always felt this about Shy Boy and Elephant Gun too, but mostly more so The Bottom Line, because on this album they thin it out so much. This is almost like the Get Up version of David Lee Roth, where there's still some meat and potatoes on Eat 'Em and Smile, but by Skyscraper they're basically you know, David up that mountain into the thin air. Everything's thin on here. You know, Steve Vai is not a heavy metal guitarist. He's a thin guitarist. He likes thinness. And The Bottom Line is basically the David Lee Roth band's Get Up. And then even on Little Ain't Enough, you get the Van Halen shuffle beat again, fast for It's Showtime! Exclamation mark. So David Lee Roth loves this thing too, and he brought it to his new band from his old band. All right, let's take a short break. We'll be right back.
We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night, ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end,
what will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
All right, back again here on History in 5 Songs with Martin Popoff, episode 233, OTT Hair Metal Songs. OTT standing for Over the Top. Let's play our first track. Well, it's our second track here, but let's play our track of this category, and we shall discuss. This is Kiss with I'm Alive. All right, so I wanted to pick Kiss here for a very specific reason. I wanted to give them a whole category because they are an amusing band, as we've discussed before, with this whole idea of them diving, you know, hook, line, and sinker from, as a 70s band, diving into hair metal. They dressed the most hair metal. They had every hair metal trope covered. They participated a lot in hair metal, put out a lot of albums during this time, and had a fair bit of success with it. A lot of gold, you know, oscillating with platinum albums through this era. So, I'm Alive is a perfect one of these. That's the other thing. You know, here is Kiss working this trope, this OTT hair metal song thing, and they just do such a mean, median, average, lousy job of it, right? They just do this sort of like, almost like a phone-it-in version of this. You don't really believe them, but they also have a little bit of pedigree for this. So this is I'm Alive. You get the drum solo intro. You get the dive bomb Slayer dissonance guitar. So what guitarists like to do on these songs is they, their whole mind frame is, this is the wacky, crazy, chaotic, look how heavy, look how Motorhead, Walk on the Wild Side we are as a band. I'm just going to mirror that idea and just go crazy with a bunch of dissonant. You know, I'm going to throw in all my pyrotechnics. I'm going to shred. I'm going to do the dive bombs. I'm going to do pinch harmonics, all that kind of stuff, right? So this is from Asylum 1985. So we're like two, this is the third record. So we're three records into their hair metal period. But arguably, King of the Mountain, also from this album, fits in this way. The way that Creatures of the Night and The Oath kind of get close to this idea. So Kiss starts kind of inching their way towards operating in this space by coming up with their sort of heaviest, riffiest songs, starting with kind of The Oath on Music from the Elder, and then Creatures of the Night. So again, track one, side one, that whole positioning thing of the fast, like get things going. So Creatures of the Night and The Oath kind of set up the idea of Kiss operating in this space, right? And then you've got the likes of, what do we got here? So Give Me More, Faster Than Creatures and The Oath from Lick It Up. And also the song, also Young and Wasted a little bit. Young and Wasted, you think of when you hear that chorus, you think they're operating in this space. And this space is kind of like maybe a wall of sound space, right? With that one, although it doesn't really fit as much. But Give Me More. Under the Gun totally fits from Animal Eyes 1984. So we're still early in the hair metal thing. And then No, absolutely, completely fits. Guitar solo first, double bass, you get tapping. So that's the other thing. They almost telegraph or underscore or remind you that all of this came from Van Halen, because quite often when you get to the guitar solos in these songs, they do all of Eddie's tricks, right? So you get a lot of that. Cadillac Dreams, Hot in the Shade also is a bit of a, like a slower double bass thing. So that's the other thing you often get with these. In the early days, you get them a little slower, a little bit straightened out. And speaking of the early days, that is going to be our next category here. So take a listen to this. This is Dawkins with Tooth and Nail. Okay, so our category here is early hair metal era. So how does this all kind of start up? Like I say, it starts with Van Halen, but let's bring in a couple of other ideas. So I mentioned the new wave of British heavy metal. I almost feel like a lot of these examples that I'm going to cite with the early days stuff reminds me of the whole idea of what I used to call poverty metal, right? Poverty metal, the whole idea of all those bands on Metal Blade and Shrapnel. And then you think of those early Shrapnel US metal compilations, you think of the Metal Massacre compilations. So when metal is starting to get going in LA, you definitely get this this subtle transition from the new wave of British heavy metal into this. Remember, we did way, way back, we did that episode, How Lars Ulrich Invented Hair Metal, right? So the idea there was that in the very, very early days, the 82, 83 sort of thing, it was basically traditional heavy metal, but they liked this fast stuff. So you got this fast stuff. So you will notice, the famous thing about the whole Shrapnel thing is that this is where the shredders were born, right? So it all comes from that as well. So this one, Tooth and Nail, you get the double bass, but it's intermittent, right? From Wild Mick Brown. I wanted to pick this as well, this band, and you're going to notice a theme for all my 3, 4, and 5. These bands are all Van Halen on steroids. They got the same sort of lineup. They've got the guitar hero on guitar. So, yeah, you get the gang vocal. You get the red hot licks, the licks all over the place from George Lynch. So this is a perfect one that fits in here, but it is early, so this is 1984. But also, I wanted to mention, it's interesting that, Dawkins a little bit like the Beatles in that they are ground zero for a lot of things. So The Breaking the Chains album actually came out back in 81 before it came out officially. And on that, you've got Live to Rock, Rock to Live. And you've got Knight Rider, which are kind of like early versions of this. You know, you can line that up with Kiss, Creatures of the Night sort of thing. Another early one that I almost went with because I have fond memories of getting Great White Out of the Night as the EP. In 83, and then of course those five songs, they were repeated on both sides, but then Out of the Night was on the debut from 84. But it reminds me a little bit of that cloistered Creatures of the Night sort of production, and it's fast and it's riffy, and you get a little bit of that staccato thrash thing, right? So the other thing about these OTT songs is they might remind you a little bit of a little bit of thrash, right? So we've got Motley Crue, Red Hot, 1983, double bass, staccato, thrash, chugging, hanging chords, a bit of an update for them on Livewire. So this is Shout at the Devil, 83. Pantera does this a lot. So Pantera in the early days was like a hair metal shred band, right? So Ride My Rocket, very first song on the debut, Metal Magic does this. Fast Van Halen Shuffle again. Out for Blood from Projects in the Jungle, 1984, is also textbook, with the dime solo as well, the double bass. Later on the same album, the title track. Black and Blue Auto Blast, love me some Black and Blue, 1984. That's like slowish double bass, and it's stopping for the singing. So again, it's that Hot for Teacher idea, but that's a perfect one from 84. Twisted Sister, Stay Hungry. Twisted Sister also deserves some credit for being part of the history of this whole thing, because you get some fast, pretty heavy songs on Under the Blade. But yeah, Stay Hungry is pretty fast, but it's a little more that D-beat thing. So it's a little more straightened out, smoothed out. They're not, you know, AJ Perro doing the thundering double bass thing. Wasp, Hellion from the debut 84, slow double bass there. Quiet Riot, Scream and Shout, double bass with spaces again from Condition Critical 84. Noisy, very fast double bass. And it's a little bit of an evolution from Run for Cover from the debut 83, right? Europe, Scream, Scream of Anger from Wings of Tomorrow, 84. Fast, regular bass, single bass type patterns mixed with double bass. Move into 85, you got Wasp, Savage, fairly fast, not really OTT, Last Command. 85, Come Out and Play, title track from Twisted Sister. Also, The Fire Still Burns, which is 3/4 time, but it is a wall of sound kind of thing. Rat, Body Talk, 85, Dancing Undercover, pretty close. That's not 85, I think it's 86. Helix, Don't Touch Me, Don't Touch the Merchandise from Long Way to Heaven, 85, a bit shuffly, bluesy again, so the vocal phrasing you get, again, there are various tropes, I don't exactly know why, but again, I think it's more from Van Halen, but there are three or four or five bluesy things that fall into this this OTT thing, again with the pedigree from Van Halen. Dock and Lightning Strikes Again, slow controlled double bass under Lock and Key, 85. Motley Crue, Use It or Lose It from Theater of Pain, is absolutely fits into this. Straight line double bass, lethal riff on that one, love it. Keel, Speed Demon from The Right to Rock, 85. Again, this feels like a link to that poverty metal massacre type sound with these noisy, not so great productions. But it's more regular, fast, more in that Wasp range, which Wasp, by the way, feels like that sort of thing too. Tesla, Coming at You. More of a regular beat, Mechanical Resonance, 86. Hanging Chords, like Come Out and Play. So sometimes these songs go into a hanging chord kind of thing rather than the staccato, palm muted sort of thing. And Vinnie Vincent Invasion, Twisted from the self-titled 86. All right, let's play our fourth selection here. Take a listen to this. This is White Line with Let's Get Crazy. Okay, category here is mid-hair metal, 87 and 90. So I wanted to pick this again because White Lion, they deserve more credit, number one. Number two, again, they're kind of like a Van Halen on steroids band. I think the songwriting is magnificent. But again, very fast, perfect Van Halen shuffle here. The riff feels like that. Fiery licks, so you're getting licks all over this. Over the place, so this is Big Game 1989, gang vocal chorus, so usually everybody joins in on the chorus of these things. These songs really have a party atmosphere, of course, as well. Vito Bratta, yeah, amazing stuff. Great White, Fast Road from Once Bitten, Textbook, Bluesy Licks, Van Halen, TNT, Tell No Tales, 1987, super fast, straight OTT, almost thrashed this one with really ridiculously high vocals. Last track on the album. Rat Chain Reaction is slower double bass, but it kind of fits this thing, Reach for the Sky 88. Striper, The Rain, more super fast, but more like D-beat. When I say D-beat, I'm talking about that UK hardcore thing, that kind of beat. That can be played really fast. But Blackie likes his drums anyways. Like, there's wall of sound drums all over Wasp stuff. Warrant, So Damn Pretty. More straight line fast, but breaks into double bass. So like I say, there's this oscillation. This is from Dirty Rotten, Stinking Filthy Rich, 89. Heaven's Edge, Can't Catch Me, bit of an obscure one. Self-titled, 1990. I think John Koskio mentioned this one. Total Hot for Teacher on this one. Again, singing over drums, halftime chorus. Damn Yankees even gets into the game. Pile Driver from the self-titled debut. The Shuffle, and then into a straight beat sort of thing. Gang vocals again. Ted Nugent sings this one. Last track on the album. Licks again. So yeah, always in between what's going on. They're firing off guitar licks. You know, I asked Tim Durling, being the Y&T expert, I can't think of any Y&T ones, and he gave me Going Off the Deep End from 10, which really doesn't fit too well, but 1990, you know, it's a mix of double bass, drum, gang vocal, okay, a little bit. All right, let's go on to our last selection here. This is Mr. Big with Colorado Bulldog.
Touch of attitude. Who's that Madam X coming in at 3 o'clock? Why don't you send her over 1-2?
Okay, so our category here is late period hair metal, 91 to 93. My famous go to Vancouver and try harder period, right? I wanted to pick this one because it's absolutely textbook. It's just ridiculous with the tropes. It's got the bluesiness. It's got the stopping for Eric Martin to sing. Mr. Big is basically another version of the David Lee Roth band. So they're almost like the next level Van Halen on steroids. Of course, Billy Sheehan was in both bands. But yeah, you got the guitar hero, the bass hero. You got everybody's a hero, right, in this band. But yeah, Colorado Bulldog is so ridiculously trope-laden to fit in this whole thing. So I wanted to pick that one. Double bass, bluesy, stop and start, all that stuff. Shredly solo. And a little bit of a follow-up in this idea of the fast songs, Too Addicted to That Rush from the debut. Also in this period, you've got Tesla with Don't D-Rock Me, kind of fits from Psychotic Supper. Skid Row, Slave to the Grind, 92. Again, D-beat, pretty fast, punky. This is another thing that happens with some of these songs. You could pick songs to go into this category that are just kind of like fast and super heavy at the same time, in almost a punky sort of way, where the screaming gets really shouty and screamo. So this is another way bands kind of prove, oh, look how heavy we are. We can be too super heavy too. And again, you know, the idea almost here is like when these guys are thinking, oh yeah, we want an audience of guys and girls, of course. You know, that's famously why hair metal did so well, and there's all these multi-platinum albums, is that everybody was into it. But these songs are for the guys, right? They're for the guys, and we want our metal cred, like I say. So along that lines, you get Warrant, Inside Out. Super Heavy Screamo from Dog Eat Dog 1992. This is a whole album where they're trying to do the same thing Skid Row was kind of doing and be a little heavier. Gang Vocal, that tinkling hi-hat bell thing, you know, that comes from Alex Van Halen too. So you get that in here where, you know, there's the off Stuart Copeland, you know, kind of thing going on when they're thundering away on these songs. You get tapping, even the guitar tone. I mean, everything about this, it really sounds like a Van Halen pastiche, but it's more controlled. Double bass drum in here as well. A little bit of an obscure one, Canadian band Svengali, Stiff Competition from the self-titled, which is 1992. This is a famously late for dinner Canadian hair metal band getting into this thing with their debut just as the whole thing is going away. So there you go. Those are lots and lots of examples of this idea, why they do them. The motivations, all the different characteristics of this whole thing. If you like this show, want to support future episodes, please go to ko-fi.com/martinpopoff, hit that red support button, buy me a coffee or a pint. Like I always say, you know, the idea there is there's a simple PayPal $3 dealie. This week, I want to thank Joe Becht, Andy at Black Sugar Transmission, David Foster, very generous, David, take a long break, Jamie Laszlo, Agustin Garcia de Paredes, Philip Edward Phyllis, Steve Polari, and Aaron Steelman. MartinPopoff.com for all your book needs. I just got a new batch of the Who book in. The Kiss, I've got more Kiss coming, so that one's doing well, but that's my new Kiss at 50 book. Nicely lined up with the end of Kiss and all this stuff about the Avatar situation. Yeah, you can go to our Contrarians YouTube channel and see us, see my rant about that whole Avatar thing that happened. I signed them, shipped them out of the office, PayPal buttons for everything. There you go. Hope you liked this episode. I thought it was pretty cool that I found Van Halen in almost every one of these dang songs. I'm not going to send you to Van Halen for any homework. Go listen to some White Line. Man, they deserve some more love.
Find all of our shows, notes, social, and links at www.pantheonpodcast.com or wherever you listen to great podcasts. All songs can be found for purchase on iTunes, Spotify, or Google Play. Please purchase these great and important tracks. Find us on Facebook at The RNRAP. We are on Instagram at RNR Archaeology. Tweet us at R&R Archaeology.